Good morning. I hope you're having a fine Sunday morning. Welcome back to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I am your host from the Dayton Daily News, Ron Rollins, and we're in the studio today to talk about voting. It's not quite November yet, but we are here with some members and friends from the League of Women Voters, Sue Hesselgesser and Valerie Lee, and also our politics editor from the Dayton Daily News and Cox Media Group Ohio, Anthony Shoemaker, to talk about why people do or do not vote. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Great. Thank you. Great. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Great morning.
It is a great morning. Sue, we should say you're executive director of the of the League of Women Voters of the Greater Dayton Area, is the whole title, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we all had lunch a couple weeks ago, and the subject was voting and why people either do or don't. It was on the tail end of the primary in May that basically brought out real low numbers of voters. Yeah, what was the percentage again?
9% in Montgomery County.
In Montgomery County. And that had precipitated you guys wanting to talk with us a little bit about why that number was what it was and sort of what can be done about it. So the League, as we understand it, is embarked on a survey to ask people about their voting habits and patterns. Sue, why don't you tell us what you're doing?
Right. Well, you know, the League of Women Voters was founded on the women's right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, since 1920, we've been supporting voters and trying to encourage people to vote. So as we've been watching this decline in voting numbers across the country, and especially in our own state, which is a swing state,
mm-hmm.
we started to get concerned about why is that? You know, I mean, everybody's complaining about it and talking about it, but nobody's asking the voters why they're not going to the polls. So we decided we were going to do a survey and ask people, why aren't you voting?
Mm-hmm.
And then see if we can't come up with some solutions or some other ways to encourage people to vote based on those answers. So that's what we're doing.
Now, certainly one of the reasons there was some low turnout in the last election was that there were just some municipalities. It was not a statewide election. It was all local, and there were some municipalities, townships and such that wouldn't have had an issue on the ballots. That explains some of that. But you feel like this is a larger issue than that small little bit of the puzzle.
Right. And actually, small elections are important because they're your everyday in your neighborhood kind of trustee elections and your taxes, your schools, that kind of thing. So we think every election is important. But what we're finding with just talking to people is that no one knew that these elections were happening. So I think that's
Anthony,
something.
I'm sure we're going to get blamed out of this somehow. Yeah.
And the onus is always a little bit on the voters, too, of course. But it's also on the people that are putting things on the ballot. Because if they, you know,
right.
sometimes it helps to get the result that they want if
right.
a lot of people don't know what's being voted on.
But the other thing, too, I think,
sure.
is, you know, when you have a presidential election year or the governor's on the ballot, people see ads all over TV. They know
right,
that it's
right.
election day.
Right.
In May of 2015, you had, you know, city commissioners and mayors in some areas and school levies and stuff like that. They don't advertise on television. So I think that
in the community.
Yeah, right.
right.
They don't. It's not in their face as much, so people
right.
don't know about it. But I think in the city of Dayton, there was 5% voter turnout in May.
Now
but
tell
there
people
was
what the,
only the city commission primary.
There was a city commission primary, which
actually
was basically
a runoff election,
which was basically
right.
only to eliminate one of five
one
candidates,
of five candidates.
And also four of the five were still going on to duke it out in November.
Yeah, I think in some communities, maybe like Huber Heights or some other communities where there were tax issues on the ballot, the turnout might have gotten up to 13, but
mm-hmm.
it didn't reach 20 in any area.
Yeah. So so what are some of the so there's actual ignorance that there is an election happening
right.
in some part. Although it seems like don't most people know that there's primaries in May and generals in November. I don't know. It seems like basic civics to me. I don't know.
Well, civics. There you go. We don't teach it anymore.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think that's what most people are saying. And again, people are busy in their everyday lives. And we mm-hmm. kind of talked about this over lunch. Everything's going all right. Everything's fine. And then all of a sudden they'll say, oh, there was election. How come I didn't know about it? What was on the ballot?
Mm-hmm.
By then it's too late.
Yep.
So it's up to either the local communities have to start saying, putting a few signs up, be sure mm. to vote, or, you know, I mean, we tried, it was on our website. I know you guys had stuff in the Dayton Daily News, and just people aren't paying attention.
Valerie, what do you think about this?
I also think that there isn't that connection, or they don't see that connection between going to vote, covering those issues that are very important to their day-to-day existence, And the fact that if you don't vote, then you don't have a say in whether or not your taxes are going up.
It's so much easier to just complain.
And that's exactly what's happening. They just want to sit back and complain, right, but they're not making that connection that you have a say in this.
I think you hit the nail on the head where you said day-to-day existence. I think that's one of the reasons why you see such an uptick in issues like Senate Bill 5 when it was on the ballot. You know, you saw a high turnout, and that was in 2011, which is a odd year that would normally have a low turnout, but because you had an issue on the ballot that touched people, thousands of Ohioans in their pocketbook, turnout was a lot higher. In 2013, where you did not have a statewide ballot on the issue, the turnout locally was pathetic. I mean, it was really low.
Well, one thing that struck me, though, is, and you said something interesting there about the everydayness of, we go on our daily lives and, you know, and then, oh, then there's an election. That's, oh, I have to pay attention to that now. And it only comes around once or twice a year. So I get that. But it seems to me, though, that we, in the social media age, that there is this very much higher degree of day-to-day, minute-to-minute even, engagement with what's going on around you than there would have been pre-social media. So that people are used to saying, giving their, paying attention to the news and immediately giving their opinion on it, you know, and stuff like that, which seems like it would invite higher awareness than not. No,
every year,
I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know. It seems like that's a piece of this somehow.
Every year, it seems more and more candidates on the local level are turning to social media as the way to get their message out. You know, looking back at 2009, though, it seems like a lifetime ago, you could argue, I think, in some ways, that that was how former Dayton Mayor Gary Lightsoll got his message out against Mayor McGlynn.
You know,
it was kind of a David Goliath story, small candidate against a candidate with a lot of
who
money.
Who is this guy? Oh,
the
yeah,
only tool
heard about
he
him.
Really right. had was Facebook.
He had no
he
money,
used
right.
it to his advantage. He would always post on Facebook, hey, I'm walking in this neighborhood, or, you know, we're going to have this event, or we're going to do that. And he showed that in the age of social media, you know, you can be your own messenger. I mean, it didn't work so well for him the second time around, but it worked the first time.
Well, it turned out to be a great way to introduce him to people who didn't know who he was.
Right.
And he intuitively got that.
And I think we'll see a lot of local candidates this fall using it because it's free and anybody can do it if they learn how to master it.
You know? So what are some of the other reasons why people, this seems like a fairly tangled ball of string here. What are some of the other reasons that you're hearing in the from people about why they either do or don't?
Well, and most of the information I'm getting are from the handwritten surveys that are coming in because we haven't compiled the data from the online stuff yet. But also polling places. I don't know where I'm going to vote. You know, a couple years ago, they consolidated polling places by, I think, a third or took out a third of them. So, and certainly people can get that information if they call the Board of Elections or call the League and they can find out. But it's just sort of one of those, well, I didn't know where to go. You know, there's just all kinds of little things that don't seem to me, who's kind of an election nerd, to make a lot of sense. But that's, it doesn't matter. If people need to know where they need to go to vote, then we need to get that information to them and make it accessible. We are using Facebook more as a League, and we're going to have a blog that we've got a couple of our younger members that are going to do, because we want to reach the 35-year-olds that are not voting, some of my children included in that, as well as...
Were they supposed to hear that?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Kids, you were called out by mom on the radio. On their radio.
I know. I mean, when they tell me that they don't know who to vote for, I can't even believe that they're saying that. But anyway,
just because it's your hobby, mom, doesn't mean it's there.
It's just because it's mom. So I must not have any value at all. I have no control over my own kids. But they are homeowners now and taxpayers, and they have children. And they need to care about their schools. And they need to care about their streets. And I know we're doing a lot of talking over lunch about, well, if everything's okay, why should I vote? Because it might not be okay if the people who are in office now lose an election and won't be there, or the taxes you need aren't voted for. But
but a minute ago, though, let's back to what you said, though. There's been this perception for some time. I mean, the voter numbers have been trending down for some time.
Right.
And along with other things that have been trending down, like consumption of mainstream media, newspaper readership, you know, television viewership in general, not just of news, but of all television, is going down. You know, I'd say it radio. I mean, it's traditional media consumption is trending down. Faith in institutions like politics, church, religion attendance, or church attendance is trending down. Do you see these as somehow connected? And first question. And second question is, there's been this idea for a long time that, well, once people of a certain age group start to have kids, send them to schools, pay taxes, buy homes, that they'll snap in, you know, and they'll start paying attention to all this stuff and be interested. So that's apparently not happening on the level that we thought it would.
And we're working with the Updating Group, which is a 30-plus
young professionals group.
Young professional group, to sort of talk to their members about why they're not voting. And I think a lot of, I know, again, my children, get their information from Jon Stewart and Steve Colbert. You know, they're watching it on TV, and there's a lot of truth to that, and in the humor of it all. But you're right; it's sort of a downtrend, and I think a lot of people are just dissatisfied. Well, they're not. I hate politics. I hate politicians. So therefore, I'm opting out. And when that should really be making them opt in, and make a difference.
So, do you see it all tied together? I guess either any of the three of you. Do you see these trends and this trend tied in with some of these other trends of lower participation in things like churches, mainstream media, some of that stuff? I mean, are these entangled somehow?
I think the other piece that we haven't discussed is the fact that it's now a very mobile society, and the people keep moving around,
right?
And it's much harder for them to get engaged in the community. It'd be nice if you bought a house or rented an apartment, you would get a welcome packet that would include a voter registration form, that maybe that would give you an idea that, well, maybe I need to fill this out. But every time you move, you have to change your voter registration, and that's not happening. So when they keep moving around, they don't necessarily get engaged with the church in the community. They follow the children if they have children. They follow the children and get involved with the school. But now even schools are spread out, and a lot of people opt to homeschool or go to a private school because we have a lot of charter schools. So not everybody now goes to the neighborhood school. So we're just a society that's just spread all over the place, and we don't have those same ideas and those same traditions that we used to have back in our day.
That's interesting.
Well, people are busy. I mean, my husband works 65 hours a week. I work over, 45 hours a week. You know, everybody's working harder. People are picking up their kids from daycare, going home, feeding their kids, bathing their kids, putting their kids to bed. And by that time, they collapse and go to bed. So I just think we're really busy people. But we don't realize until you lose it how important it is to vote, and something changes drastically in your life, or a law changes,
and suddenly
matters.
Going to the polls to vote takes as much time as going to Starbucks to buy a cup of coffee.
Oh, less actually.
Yeah. People find the time.
If you've ever stood in line at Starbucks, and then if you go to Starbucks and you order one of those froofy, frothy, chocolatey coffees that really isn't actual coffee, it's more like a milkshake. Mm-hmm. That takes a long time.
And if it's like half cap, no whip or whatever,
that's right.
Real specific,
with extra shavings.
But I mean, voting is easy. I mean, I live in Dayton. I voted in May. I walked in. I was the only one there. I swear it took 5 minutes.
I was one of two at my polling place in Kettering. Yeah.
I mean, it's not inconvenient. You can vote by mail now. You can vote 30 days in advance. I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think people need to understand that they, and soon they'll be getting their information from the Secretary of State if they want an absentee ballot. I wish they'd call it home voting ballot.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, that would make sense, yeah.
Because it really makes more sense. And this has happened to people, and I'll say, I have kind of a problem with absentee voting or home voting, only because people make a lot of mistakes, and then they have to be fixed before the ballot can be counted. But also people will fill that in because it comes from the Secretary of State, and they treat it like it's a voter registration or something, and they just send it back in, not realizing that they're going to get a ballot. And then when the ballot comes, if they don't fill it in, then they go to vote on Election Day, they can't vote because they already had
a ballot.
They had a ballot.
Right.
And now you're going to have to vote provisionally, and then people think, well, what's that? I don't know what that is. I don't want to do that. So, people have to understand voting from home.
I've never voted absentee, and I didn't really think about that. That's a very good point.
And I think, too, you have to realize I'm from that segment of the population where there's not a lot of trust in the officials that run elections that...
I think that's the whole population
we
now,
see. Well, no. Actually, when you get to things like home voting or whatever, we always assume there's some kind of conspiracy involved with that. So we're a little reluctant to get involved with these newfangled ideas for that involve something that really is quite easy and quite simple, but... No, that they're not. They're just going to throw away my ballot. So.
Right. But it gives them a chance to actually have it in front of them. Go online, Google, find out about candidates, find out about, decide. What happens is people get their absentee ballot and they'll call us and say, okay, what about issue one?
What about issue two?
And of course, we can't tell people how to vote.
No, you can just
we can only try to explain to them what it is. And I have to say, I'm going to give you guys a plug. I was telling Anthony earlier, a lot of people call the office because we have a hotline during elections and say, okay, just tell me what's on my ballot. And so I'll say, okay, courtesy of the Dayton Daily News,
if you
give me your address, I can pull up exactly what's on your ballot. And it's such a good tool for people.
It is. We'll talk about that tool in a minute. Let me tell people what they're listening to. If you are just tuning in and joining us, good morning. And this is Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm Ron Rollins, your host from the Dayton Daily News. And we are here with three guests, two from the League of Women Voters of the Greater Dayton Area, Sue Hesselgesser and Valerie Lee. And then also Anthony Shoemaker, our politics editor at Cox Media Group and the Dayton Daily News, talking about why people do or do not vote and reflecting on the reasons why voter participation is so low in the country. So, Anthony, you should, Sue mentioned the voter's guide that we do online, which won't be online for a while, but tell people about that.
It'll be online in early October for the November election. I mean, it's a tool that allows, we start sending out questionnaires to every candidate in the 13-county area in August, once we kind of know who's on the ballot. And we ask them questions. I get the questions usually from the reporters who cover specific areas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the reporters covering Kettering or Dayton or Huber Heights or whatever the area is can ask specific questions tied to those communities. And then the candidates answer, and we put them online, and it's a searchable tool. A voter can just type in their address and see all the issues and candidates that are on their ballot.
You can do it by zip code or community or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
very
a very good tool. Yeah, it's
very
a great database. And actually, in editing the ideas and voices pages on Sunday, which I do, we've also used some of the questions that you've sent out to the statewide candidates and just run those in print on the paper as content there.
Yeah,
too,
one thing people would be surprised about is, you know, in our coverage area, there's 400 to 500 candidates.
Yep.
Probably this year.
Yeah. Which is all township trustees and county commissioners.
Mayors, school boards, city
school boards.
And you add them all up, there's quite a few of them.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many of them don't have a computer?
Oh, quite a few.
Many
that's interesting.
A lot of them don't have email addresses or you can't find them on social media. I mean,
that's very interesting.
Not everybody running for office is
snapped in.
It's snapped in.
Yeah. Little rural communities are just fun to work with.
Well, but on the other hand, too, in those little rural communities, they're probably being considered by people who actually know them instead of
it's
people
very
who don't.
Yeah,
it's very
face to face.
Yeah, very, very, very much face to face. That which so it's a different. It's a different kind of problem. I mean, somebody who stays away from the polls in that kind of community is sending it. Is doing it for a different reason than somebody in Dayton or Kettering who just doesn't know who's on the ballot for city commission because they personally don't know the people.
Right?
That's kind of weird.
Nothing's harder than putting the voter guide together and trying to find a missing Democratic candidate in Champaign County. You know, good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. I also think, we just had the 4th of July.
Right.
And you had a wonderful article.
The Dayton Daily News, yeah.
Yeah, every day I get the Dayton Daily News.
Thank you very much.
Every morning.
Me too.
Defining the American
I have to, but I would anyway.
You probably get yours for free. I
know. I get it at a 10% employee discount.
There you go.
That's right.
But what I thought was interesting, because we almost have to find a uniting factor to get people to the polls. And the people who answered your question about what the American flag meant to them said it was the freedom to choose, honoring veterans and those serving. Equality, opportunity, and all those things start at the polls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you care about what happens to veterans, then you better know who's going to plan their benefits when they get home, what kind of politician is going to take care of them, who's sending them to war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you need to care about that. If you care about your freedom, then if you're a smoker, you're going to care about the laws about smoking. If you're drinking and you want to open-air drinking in the Oregon District, mm-hmm. you may want to do that, but the neighbor who lives down the street from the Oregon District may not like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is your freedom? What matters to you? And every decision that it happens in your community, in your state, in your country is made at the polling place. So, you know, people are proud of the American flag and what it stands for. With the American flag, you know, stands for our country and our government, and our government is run by our people if we do it right.
Well, no, but I would suggest that there's, I agree with all that, and I think the people who actually make the trouble of going to the polls
right.
agree with what you just said at some level.
Right.
But it seems like there's also, in between that and the rubber meeting the road, there's a great deal of cynicism today in which right. there are certain people that, there's a lot of certain people that just don't believe that that there is that connection that you just described, that it's not, it's more than not thinking that my vote doesn't count, which is a numbers thing. I'm just right. one person. How could I affect anything? You can even kind of get your head around that if you've ever watched a sporting event where one vote or where one point counts. People can imagine, but then there's the something different, which is like, I just don't believe that the government actually does work the way you described. And so how do you, and I don't know if that cynicism is greater today than it's been in the past. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But how do you address that when you encounter that in your job with the league? I mean, what do you tell people?
That people think it just doesn't matter if
yeah,
they vote or
like,
how it affects their lives.
The darn government, darn politicians, grump.
You know? Well, you know, and I explain because of my job, and one of the best parts of my job is getting to know the politicians and when they're running for office. Mm-hmm. And people look at them, they paint them all with one brush, you know, mm-hmm. oh, they're all crooked, they all care about themselves. And that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of good people that run for public office. It takes a lot to run for public office. It's not easy.
I don't know why anybody would ever do it, actually.
It's a tough sell.
You have to deal with people like Anthony.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, so I start out with the same things I've kind of said, you know, well, how do you like your roads? How do you like your snow picked up? How do you like your trash mm-hmm. delivered? You know, you have to start in every level of your life and just address the fact that you put people into office and they work for you mm-hmm. and it is your government mm-hmm. and you need to participate. Now, you know, people that call our office are looking for that. It's the people that don't call our office that we have to figure out how to reach. I'm trying to get, you know, some momentum toward hanging out flags on Election Day. Mm-hmm. You know, we hang them out for the 4th of July. We hang them out, you know, mm. if we've got it, people in the Olympics. We hang them out if somebody dies, you know, that we love and care about. Mm-hmm. Or if we're attacked, you know, by a foreign country. Election Day should be a day, you know, that we put out our American flags. We should mm-hmm. have, maybe we should have fireworks mm-hmm. on Election Day. You know, something that draws attention to the importance of voting. That's how our government works. It only works if people vote.
Maybe if you vote, you get to set off a firework.
And burn your fingers off.
I think we've lost the whole idea behind those very powerful words, we the people. Mm-hmm. Those are the most concerning words now that we've turned against, because in terms of the people who feel their vote doesn't count, well, with a lot of the gerrymandering and what have you, we have diminished our democracy. And we need to get the politicians to be accountable for these different techniques that they use to actually diminish the vote of certain segments of the population that they know might not agree with their outlook for the democracy. But if we don't get back to we the people, and I was struck by the fact when President Obama delivered the eulogy a couple of weeks ago in South Carolina, that he put such emphasis on the word the United States mm-hmm. of America. I'm not so sure that we're so united anymore. Mm-hmm. And we really need to get back to that.
Mm-hmm. That was, I think, one thing also, you know, to keep in mind, you know, people pay attention in the presidential election year, maybe in the governor year, less in the local years. But, you know, several years ago, Barack Obama was a state senator. You know, mm-hmm. several years ago, John Boehner was a Liberty Township trustee
right.
or whatever. I don't know that it was called Liberty Township back then, or Westchester Township or whatever it was. You know, it's almost kind of like a farm team. You know, mm-hmm. it's like the Dragons feeding the Reds. You know, if you get involved in the local elections, because mm-hmm. that's where the top leaders on the national and state level, that's where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it matters. And
that's a very interesting idea that I do think people really have lost sight of that, that you can, the vote you cast today isn't just the vote you cast today. You're helping decide issues down the road, down the, for years or decades to come.
Well, and
setting up personalities who are going to be affecting those issues for decades and years to come.
That's right.
Gerrymandering is not a topic that a lot of people, you know, like to talk about because it's kind of boring, but it has...
It's a great word, though.
It has weakened the system, I think.
Oh, very much.
See, regardless of whether they like them or not, their member of Congress reelected 60-70% of the vote every time.
Well,
sometimes
just briefly,
not even facing a challenger.
Well, so briefly, what did the Supreme Court ruling on that last week, what impact does that possibly have in Ohio?
None right away. I mean, it basically says that it's okay for these committees to be set up to draw congressional lines. There will be an issue on the state ballot in Ohio this fall, but that's tied to drawing state lines, state House and Senate lines. But, you know, we have state House races, for example, here in our own area where the candidate might win 70-80% of the vote. I mean, it's hard to believe anyone is doing that great of a job.
Right.
You know what that's I mean? Right. But that's just the way the map's drawn.
Yeah. And it also stops politicians from having to talk to the people to get their vote because they don't need to do that.
Right.
And that's, I think, the saddest part.
And they feel
part.
Like they don't need to debate their
opponent.
They
don't need
either.
To debate. They don't need to put out candidate signs. They don't have to do anything because they know they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it about? Issue one that you just found out today is going to be on the ballot about redistricting. And it isn't, again, it's just your state races. But I think the Arizona law is going to start a trend. I really
so, this fall, come out to vote for marijuana and vote for redistricting while you're there.
Yeah, definitely people are going to come out to vote for or against marijuana.
And another thing to keep in mind is it's not just candidates, it's also issues. If you look back at the May election we just had, nearly every major city in the Dayton area had a school levy on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Beaver Creek, Kettering, you know, lots of others.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you don't show up to vote for those, you're basically letting people shop with your money. I mean,
right,
you may as well just let them log onto your Amazon account
because
it's the same principle. And, you know, every levy in our coverage area passed but one, you know, so people are going to see their taxes go up next year. And then they're like, why'd my taxes go up? And
well, that's one. Yeah.
You didn't vote.
Just very quickly, we've got about a minute and 10 seconds left. Tell us very quickly, Sue, about the survey you're doing real quick. Is it online and written in as well?
It is, yes. You can definitely write to the league office, and just I'll give you the phone number for that. It's 228-4041, and we'll tell you how to do that. But also, it's on the league website, lwvdayton.org, so League of Women Voters, lwvdayton.org, on the home page, right-hand corner. Click on the survey in English and Spanish.
It's an open survey. Anybody?
Open survey.
Okay.
Anybody. We've got just as many people who vote as who don't vote that want to weigh in on that, and that's just fine.
And so you'll be reporting back. You'll have final information on this one.
We're going to start on August 6th with the Voting Rights Act at Courthouse Square. We're going to do an event from 11:30 to 1.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to be talking a little bit about it then, and then we'll be having some follow-up.
Sounds perfect. Maybe. All right. Well,
but
thank you for coming.
Just a possible correction. Is it Montgomery and Greene County, or is it everywhere?
We're taking from, I mean, we cover Montgomery and Greene, but we'll take information from anybody.
Cool. We have been in the studio with Sue Hesselgesser and Valerie Lee from the League of Women Voters and Anthony Shoemaker from the Dayton Daily News talking about why people do or don't vote. We'll get you guys back in a couple of months to talk about it some more.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Appreciate you coming in. This has been Miami Valley Voices. We'll see you next Sunday.